joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline from the ACC Network, where I would love to know who was watching that Clemson-Alabama National Championship game on Monday, because they couldn't stand the idea of watching an all-SEC matchup on Monday night on the big ESPN. It's Wes Durham. Wes, what's up, man?
How you doing? Welcome to the club.
I don't have COVID. I know you've dealt with it, but right now I'm kind of there's an HBO show called Station 11. I feel like the house is Station 11 right now.
I think you're resetting your clock on a regular basis, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, Kelly's theory is that because I've been going to events since March of 2020 when all this stuff was going on, that maybe I've developed an immunity. I'm like,
yeah, okay. Yeah,
but
yeah,
Wes, okay. Wes has been everywhere. You've had it twice, have you not?
Yeah, well, I've had the original, the OG.
The original recipe?
Yeah, I've had the original recipe, and now I've had extra spicy. I don't know what that was. I mean, you have to be tested specifically for Omicron, and it's a blood test, and obviously I haven't had a blood test. So I have no reason to believe other than it could be the Delta, it could be the Omicron, but nonetheless, it was a lot less taxing than the original, but nonetheless, unfortunately, and I think I said this to you guys last week, I think a lot of people are going to get this. It just moves that way. So I hope you're doing okay. I feel the same for anybody who has tested positive. And I can sympathize with your urgency to find test and how difficult it was. I went through that a couple of different times in my process. And hopefully you'll get back to full speed here soon. Hopefully your kids and Kelly will as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to tell my grandchildren about that time in early 2022 where Abuelo got drunk on bourbon and just went on the internet and ordered a bunch of COVID tests. And I'm like, I got so many shipping notifications on Monday. I'm like, what? Oh, that's right. I had one too many. I ordered a bunch of COVID tests. So here they are.
In the words of your partner, let me hope it was good bourbon. And
it was.
We'll move forward from that. Good.
It was. It wasn't Pappy. Like
that's great, like, bourbon. That's not
like
good
Stetson
bourbon.
Bennett the fourth was drinking apparently. After
well, you know,
the
those NIL deals kick in Athens in a different way, fellas. So
they really do. They really do.
Yeah.
So we'll start with football. We'll put a wrap on football before we move to some basketball matters tonight.
Okay.
You know, national championship wraps, great for Kirby Smart. I know, you know, all the times that you've spent in Atlanta, being in Georgia, what that means for Georgia.
Sure.
But I feel like, and I know Jillia points this out a lot, that Saban runs on a 2-year cycle, whereas most schools are lucky to be running on a 3-year cycle. So we expect Alabama to be right back there. The question is Clemson going to be able to cycle back in where we're not dealing with a year in which the ACC has no representation?
That's a good question. It's a fair question. And the answer is, I don't know. A lot is being put on this quarterback competition, seemingly, that has to take place. And that quarterback competition involves DJ Uiagalelei and Cade Klubnik, who apparently enrolled on Monday and started classes, ironically, today, I think, is the first day of classes, according to my graduate assistant's son at Clemson. I would offer you this. I think Clemson is close. I think they can get back in, much like I think Ohio State can get back in. I think in Clemson's case, you just lost, you know, you lost the NC State game for sure. You beat Wake Forest. But in Clemson's case, I think their inventory is fine. The real question and the question that we all want to ask Clemson is not necessarily about the quarterback. It's about what the systems are going to look like. These in-house promotions are fine, but the systems still go through some changes. Look, there was a change when Chad Morris left and Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott split it. And then there was a little bit of a change when Jeff Scott left and Tony Elliott was just a coordinator. Imagine what it's going to be when Wes Goodwin takes over full-time and there's no Brent Venables influence in this. Todd Bates left, Nick Eason's hired. I think for Clemson, the quarterback thing is one thing. But let's also go back to the systems that they're going to run offensively and defensively. And, oh, by the way, there's still this thing with the offensive line, right? Remember? That was a thing a little bit last year. So we need to find out what that's going to be. But I think Clemson is close to it. But I also think the good news for the ACC is I think they're contenders to Clemson that are going to be in the national scene. I hope from week zero in, but I think that that is the only big negative for NC State. They didn't get a chance to showcase what they are going to be in the postseason against a West Coast team on a national stage. And people say national stage, it's a Holiday Bowl. No, it's a Fox game with the big crew, and it was going to be against a team that has eyeballs in the Pac-12 who was hopeless in bowl games. So I do believe had NC State played, and I thought they were going to smoke UCLA, that I think it would have been a good thing for not just the Wolfpack, but also the rest of the ACC. And I'm still not, you know, I'm still optimistic that Wake Forest is in the mix, that Miami and all these, this whole deal in the Coastal we're going to have with the new coaches is also going to be a factor in whoever ends up in Charlotte as the champ of the ACC next December.
West Durham ACC Network joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. All right, Wes, let's switch to basketball. And I need you to – here's what I need you to do.
Okay.
I'm really in my feelings this week, in my lack of interest in ACC basketball. And it's not that I miss certain players at NC State or North Carolina or even Duke. Mm-hmm. I find myself missing Grievous Vasquez.
Yep.
I find myself, after watching Clemson come to PNC last Saturday – like, I couldn't name one guy on the Clemson team. Like,
I used Will Solomon.
Right? Like, I used to be able to name Clemson's whole I could probably tell you what their starting lineup was in 2001.
Sure.
But I can't do it for now. And then I'm sitting here last night, and I think you'll agree with me. Miami's a pretty good team.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And here's the problem with Miami. One of their better players is Charlie Moore. This is from Miami's website. This is their roster.
Okay.
Charlie Moore. Guard, 5'11", sixth year redshirt senior, hometown, Chicago, Illinois. Previous school, DePaul/Kansas/Cal.
Don't forget he signed with Memphis when Josh Pastner was there and then decommitted and went to Cal.
I know. But it's like...
Welcome to college basketball,
right?
Giglio.
But it's never going to change is what I'm getting at. We're never going back.
No, we're
so
not.
How do you get me back on board to love... ACC basketball, because I want to still love ACC basketball.
We're going to run a 10-part documentary in February. That might do it.
That will help, yes. But that's going to make me miss it more.
It is. And look, you're not the only one going through this. I think there are a lot of people really struggling with the sport. And they're struggling with the sport because they don't know who their team is. And in the ACC right now, you can be loyal to your program, but you're not happy with your team because you're not comfortable with your team. You don't know that... Hey, by the way, if we get the ball to Danny Green, or if we get the ball to, you know, if I get the ball to Braxton Beverly, or if I get the ball on the perimeter to, you know, Oshawa Benjamin. I mean, you know.
Good pull.
CeCe Harrison.
I was going to say CeCe Harrison, Danny Strong, Jeremy Hyatt. I can name the whole lineup for you.
If I get the ball to, hey, if I get the ball tonight in Winston-Salem on the parquet floor at the Joel to L.D. Williams, he may put Paolo Banchero in the basket.
Right.
On the dunk. Yeah.
Now we're talking. But you know who I think is having a harder time with it? Because you mentioned Duke. I think Duke fans, for the most part, are used to this now.
Yes.
Well, sure, because they've had success doing it.
They've had success doing it, but also this is a process that's now, you know, closer to 10 years than not, right?
Sure.
I think it's Carolina fans who are having the most difficult time processing this. Not only do you have the change from Roy Williams to Hubert Davis, but you also have the change in, as Giglio mentioned, players that you look forward to watching and you have an attachment to. Armando Bacot's having a great season, but the ire seems to be going into the new additions to this. And this is not a North Carolina team that you're used to seeing come together. And I think that plays itself out in what Giglio and I have described as pretty typical college basketball things, you know, like an up and down nature.
Right.
Instead, it becomes this big referendum game to game rather than just looking at the overall process and trajectory of this Tar Heel squad, which showed us something coming off a loss at Notre Dame with a nice win at Virginia. Now it's just a matter of doing it again. And I think that process plays itself out in January as it's supposed to.
Yeah, it does. And I think that what you do is, again, I blame the sport for some of this because – college basketball didn't have to do this. You know, they could have gone the other route. They didn't have to let the NBA dictate tempo, right?
Yeah.
And the lack of governance in college athletics, we could do a whole nother show on. We could do a town hall on. But I think what we have to understand is you're going to spend the next, I don't know, at least the next handful of years in November and December figuring out who's on your team. And more than that, your coach is having to do all of this 24/7, 365 because of the portal. And right now he's having to do it because of the log on the fire year, right? So you're adding all those things together. I mean, I've got Pittsburgh on Saturday, and Pittsburgh has a player who was never played high school ball, went to an open tryout at junior college, and played, you know, 2 years at a junior college, 2 years at Stony Brook, and now apparently may have another extra year at Pittsburgh after this year. I mean, we don't have any idea on anybody's clocks anymore. And it's not just the guys who are one and dones, it's the guys that are four or more. And I think that's a real problem in the game, and it's going to be a problem in football a little bit. You've already seen Alabama, I mean, seven guys who were just totally heartbroken about the loss to Georgia decide they had to be in the portal before the plane landed yesterday. And I think that's just kind of where we are. And unfortunately, the impact – I was just on a station in Chattanooga that carries our Falcons broadcast, and the guy asked me about ACC basketball, and I said it's the most transactive year I can remember in the league. Because we don't have a sense, even as good as Duke is, and they're only and look, let's be honest. We saw with Miami, I think you'll see tonight with Wake Forest, there's not a lot of difference in Duke and some of these teams in the ACC. Their brand is just a lot stronger, and their resume is a lot stronger because they beat Kentucky and they beat Gonzaga.
Duke's got three pros, though.
That's true.
I'm looking around the rest of the ACC going, is there another pro?
Oh, yeah.
There's one.
There's one. That kid at Notre Dame's a pro.
Well, Wesley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a show now. That's we haven't seen anything like him in a while. He's 6'4". I'm going to be way old school on you. He's silky now. Blake Wesley, that's a silky basketball player. He's fun to watch. I was really impressed Saturday night with him because the veterans, the brand names at Notre Dame weren't doing anything in the first half the other night, and he was. He and the Yale transfer were the guys carrying Notre Dame.
Paul Atkinson.
Yeah. So I would say this. I think it's a very uncomfortable year for people like us who are longtime observers of ACC basketball. Because you're right, Giulio, it's a perfect example. You long for the days of Gravis Vasquez. You long for the days of Jarrett Jack, you know. And right now we don't have those kinds of players, nor do we have any kind of familiarity or comfort level with those players.
And I also think Wes and Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG. I also think this, if you think about this, the ACC has always had a coach who is just larger than the game.
Yep.
Often they had multiple coaches who are larger than the game. And God bless Tony Bennett and everything that he believes in. But he's not that guy. And when Mike walks away next year, there's not – I mean, Boeheim is
– It's Josh not, Pastner's world, man.
It's not Boeheim either. And I know who Boeheim is, but it's not him. And you got to think about it. Like, Dean Smith, Everett Case, Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski.
Josh Pastner.
Jim Valvano. I'm ignoring you. I'm actually making a serious point right now. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're now going to have a season where we're looking at somebody and going, who is that guy? Who is the legend?
Well,
and that's what really gets me for ACC basketball.
No question. And here's the other part about this too, Giulio. This situation with Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, we're only going to add – I mean, Boeheim is in the autumn, okay?
Right.
Well, it's a
winter.
Matter,
it's winter.
It's winter, yeah. I mean, it could be now. It could be 2 years from now. It could be 3 years from now. But it's somewhere in the horizon for us. And who's to say Larrañaga is not far behind either? If Larrañaga makes a big old run this year, could be it for – I mean, I'm just speculating there.
Right.
I don't have any working knowledge of it.
I'm glad you brought up Jim Larrañaga because Miami's doing that thing again where they're kind of nondescript. Nobody really thinks about Miami as a basketball school for understandable reasons. Hmm. And I think that's kind of showing through in the I don't want to call it lack of respect, but I do think it's odd that the ACC is still dealing with a credibility problem in the AP Top 25. It's a chaotic year in college basketball.
Right.
It's just and I think that's how it's going to be for a while now. Yet the ACC doesn't get any sort of benefit or lumped in with the crazy nature of the college basketball. It's just, no, it's bad. Straight, we've just convinced ourselves it's bad, rather than looking at the bigger picture and that there's a lot of bad in college basketball. I think, Julio, you said what? There's four or five teams that are above everybody else, and after that, it's a bunch of teams that look a lot similar. We've just convinced ourselves the ACC is bad. The Florida State-Miami game last night was a good basketball game. Mm-hmm. Wake Forest going into this game against Duke tonight, they're playing good basketball right now. This should be a matchup that people should be interested in. And you talk about personalities. I'm going to be serious for a moment. Steve Forbes has just gotten there. He has just gotten there. He's at a basketball crazy school when they're winning and they're in, you know, they're engaged with the product. Steve Forbes is a guy you can get behind. So I'll be curious to see how they play tonight.
No, I'm with you on Steve Forbes. And by the way,
I hope he stays there. That's my biggest concern with the Maryland job open.
Well, let me ask this. I think that we all agree with this. While the familiarity of the coaches and the players in some respects in basketball may be at a different point, the leadership factor, even with the change at Clemson here recently, even with the change at Florida State recently, even with the change with Radakovic, you know, going on the waiver wire for the player to be named later to Miami. You know, I think what you're going to see is I think we've got great leadership here, and I think that's going to count for something. What I would say is this. I think Steve Forbes is one of those guys who's got a lot of old school in him, and I think that's going to matter. I think that's really going to count, actually, as we get further down the road here, and I think his team happens to be pretty good too, so I think that helps a bunch.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, we appreciate the time as always.
We don't get to talk about the Panthers here?
What is there to talk about with the Panthers? It's a dumpster fire. Come on now.
It's Wes off the top rope there.
Julio, you like how I slid that in there?
I like it.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm here for it. I'm here for the NFC South pettiness.
How you doing there, Ovis? You all right? You at home? You've had time to think about Scott Fritterer and all the things he needs to do?
You know,
the quarterback and the radio announcer, they've got to go get a plan.
Every draft pick is like gold, Wes. It's like gold, even though we give up those precious, precious commodities to go get Sam Darnold. Yeah.
It's great to see you guys. Take care. Have a great week.